between them, lips moving, saying nothing. She had to stop this. It would be hard enough to fight the order without fighting among themselves.
She said she is no, Samson began.
If killing a devil doesn't make me a Palatine, Halwaz said, it at least makes me a woman grown. A woman grown with no husband makes her own decisions. And this is mine.
Halwaz.
Samson cradled his head in his hand. I killed a devil, Halwaz said. Palatine or no, that much was true. Until she was married, a father had the right to refuse a girl anything.
She had to be something more.
Barnard grunted and turned to the hall doors.
Let them in, he said to his sons.
The Tinker boys threw the doors wide. A knot of villagers stood outside, staring at the table, awe in their eyes. Helwa's mouth went dry. She hadn't thought that the village might be listening. It seemed a smaller thing to claim a Palatine's accolade in front of those she knew best, but now she had lied to the whole village.
Did you hear? Barnard called to them. Did you hear her words?
The villagers dipped their heads and bowed deeply, averting their eyes.
Halwaz, devil slayer, Donab murmured. Palatine, hand of the Emperor, bless us.
Halwaz gaped, struggling for something to say. She had slain a devil, but it didn't make her the hand of anything, and she couldn't bless anyone. She'd said what she did to stop her father and Barnard from fighting, to ensure she'd have a chance to fight. A few of the children looked at her from under their hair, but the rest kept their eyes firmly on the ground, as if they were addressing a lord or a member of the order.
Hand of the Emperor, some of them said.
Others said,
Palatine.
She drove a war machine to slay the devil, Barnard said. She will drive another when we stand against the order.
Sauld Grower and Pock Drover alone did not bow. Sauld's cheeks were red, but he met Barnard's fanatic gaze evenly.
Master Tinker, we all love Halwaz and thank the Emperor she lives. But that doesn't mean she's the one to put in a war engine. That's for a man grown to drive.
Are you blind? Gunnar shouted at him. She killed a devil.
Go back up to our workshop and you will see it.
We've seen it, Puck spoke to Sigir. It was the machine that killed the devil.
That don't make her a Palatine.
And then everyone was shouting at once, until Halwaz couldn't tell one voice from the other, and Sigir was shouting for everyone to be quiet.
You're right! Barnard's voice cut through the throng. She is no Palatine. They are legends, revered for their place in the grave. She is real. She is breathing. All the Palatines died. She lives. She is something more, something greater.
The crowd began to shout again, but Barnard shouted over them.
When the order came to kill us, it wasn't you who turned them back. It was an old man, and a ranger besides. And when a devil came among us, it wasn't you who fought it. It was two little girls. My Basina fell. How else could Halwaz live against such a monster? How else but the Emperor's divine hand?
It was your machine, Puck said.
The machine alone could not be driven by a girl of 16 winters. The Emperor crushed it to fit her.
Maybe it was the Emperor's hand, Sauld said, and maybe it was dumb luck.
We got one chance against the Order. Do you want to risk putting a child in charge of the one thing that could save us? This isn't a game.
That machine is mine, Barnard growled. "And I will permit no one to drive it but Helwa's factor."
"Barnard," Sald began,
"do you think I don't suspect?"
Barnard's voice was little more than an animal growl.
"You and Pock both spoke against Samson when Sigir decided we would hide him. And the pilgrims came twice. Once, right to my workshop and my vault, and the second time, just after Helwas had fled from our protection. How convenient. I wonder why..."
"Barnard!" Sigir shouted. "Enough! You have no proof!"
Sald's cheeks reddened, and his eyes narrowed. "Bald lies, to throw us off the matter at hand. That machine is not for..." "If you want it," Gunther cut him off, "come and take it." Gunther was not yet full grown, but he was a big boy regardless. Gunnar stepped up beside his brother, red-faced.
"Best me, Master Grower. Open hands, blow for blow. You can have the first strike. If I fall, you may put who you like in that machine. If I lose, I swear in the shadow of the throne that I will kill you."
No one moved.
"Well?" Gunther shouted. "Are you going to step up or are you going to stand there?"
Silence. Sald looked at his feet, his jaw working silently.
"Only Helwas," Barnard said. "Devil Slayer, Palantine, our own."
The reverence in his voice made her more frightened, more alone in that moment than she'd ever felt in her life. Her need for her father was sudden and desperate. She wanted nothing more than to run to his arms, to feel him stroke her hair and tell her he loved her. She had lost so much, so quickly. Peace, safety, Clodio, Bessina, her hand. But she knew that once her father put his arms around her, she would never be free of them. She hadn't been able to save Bessina or Clodio, and if she was ever going to make that right, she couldn't let that happen.
"Look at her!" Pock shouted. "She's half dead!"
"She is the Emperor's own, and beyond death," Barnard answered. "In the machine, her body will match her heart. She will be strong enough to stand against a pilgrim and throw him down."
More than a pilgrim, Helwas knew. More than two or three of them, at least. But the thought didn't make her feel brave or strong. Instead, she thought of Bessina, of how she looked before the light had faded from her eyes. The villagers muttered, turned away. Sald and Pock looked as if they would say more, but they thought better of it.
"I'm frightened,"
Helwas whispered, more to herself than anyone else. But Barnard turned to her, and for a moment, the madness left his voice.
"We all are. Fear is a deadly thing, Helwas. Can drain a person of all their strength, make them weak before their enemies. That's how we were until you showed us different. But we see now, and we are not afraid anymore. So long as you are with us, you are Helwas, the Devil Slayer. Never forget that."
She looked back at her father, eyes red-rimmed, wringing his hands.
"Your father's no great harbor from a wicked world," he had said.
How badly she wished that wasn't true. Once she climbed inside the new machine, he would be lost to her every bit as much as Clodio and Bessina. She turned back to Barnard. He was mad with grief, believed her to be something she wasn't, but he was all she had now.
"You'll be with me?" While breath remains in me, the huge man said, I will never leave your side.
He turned to his sons. Bring the machine here, and my tools. Helwaz will rest while we work. She will not move until she must.
Samson came to her side, glaring daggers at Barnard. But he said nothing, held out a bowl of hot soup.
Please, he said. Palantine or no, you have to eat.
Helwaz realized with a start that she was hungry, her stomach a clenched knot that was only now beginning to loosen. At first, she reached for the spoon with her phantom hand, but quickly corrected herself. When she finally lifted the spoon with her good one, her father had to hold the bowl for her. The simple act nearly brought her to tears. I'm sorry, Papa, she thought. Please don't be angry. I have to do this. The village watched her eat, as if they were afraid she would vanish the moment they took their eyes off her. Helwaz stared back at them between bites, nodded at the ones who tugged their forelocks, and looked away. She was terrified, but she knew that if she seemed brave, they would think she was, and that could make them brave too. She turned again to Barnard. Even with the war machine, it will be a hard fight, she said.
It will, the giant tinker said.
And if we win? She asked.
We will win, he said. You are...
No, Helwaz cut him off. When we win, what then? Barnard stammered, shook his head. After a moment, he sighed.
Then things will change.
Helwaz thought of Ostra, face down in the mud as her home burned behind her. She thought of the dead woman, dragged in chains down the Hammersdown Road, her gray tongue swollen out of her mouth. Helwaz knew she was no Palantine, knew that even Barnard's burning face and his engine were no guarantees of victory. The village had a few veterans, but without arms and armor, they were little more than a rabble. The fight to come would be hard, victory to be won only by the slimmest chance. But slim was more than none. Outside, the wind picked up, and the first snows of early winter gusted through the hall's open doors. The white flakes swirled for a moment before settling around her feet and melting into the flagstones. Outside, they dusted the boots of the tinker boys as they trudged up the path to the ruin of their workshop where the war machine waited. She was no Palantine. A little girl shouldn't lead an army. This wasn't the way things were supposed to be. Helwaz looked back up at Barnard. Things will change. He nodded.
Aye, Your Eminence.
They already have.
And though it seemed a strange thing to do, after all that had happened, Helwaz smiled. The End. This is Michi Barral. We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Armored Saint by Mike Cole. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold, including Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, Google Play, Apple iTunes, and in public libraries through RB Digital. Thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.